Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach Tip of the Day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, welcome, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us today. It's a real pleasure to have you with us. My guest is Elizabeth Ledoux with V Nacelle, and she is the CEO and founder owner. This is going to be a very interesting interview. You're going to want to grab a pen or pencil and a pad of paper and listen up, because we're going to talk about the value of a transition as business owners face their transition out of their business. Elizabeth, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about you and your background and how, I don't know if I pronounced your name of your company right. Maybe you can pronounce that correctly for us.
No, you pronounced it perfectly.
I did. Okay.
Venuscelle. Yeah, is correct. That's correct. So let's see, a little bit of background on myself. I am a petroleum engineer by background. Many, many years ago, I drilled oil wells. And because I am an entrepreneur at heart, when it came time for me to raise my family, the oil industry was changing so dramatically that it turned out to be best for me to go a different direction. And so I opened up my consulting practice, which would be 27, almost 28 years ago, and have been doing that ever since. Focus is to work with private owners and helping them to build a great business and then transition it when they're ready. And we work in the U.S. and Canada and right now in South Africa and Cayman, the Cayman Islands.
Well, that's an interesting range of territories. Are there,
you know,
I've heard this, that, you know, obviously the baby boomer phenomenon is worldwide. Are businesses in all areas of the world, and especially the places you're talking about, are they having similar transition issues because of the aging of their populations? And did they have the same entrepreneurship wave that we had in the 60s when baby boomers started their businesses?
Yeah, that's a great question. Some of the issues in like South Africa are a little bit different. We've got a lady there who's working with our intellectual property, really more in the development of companies. But if you look at transition without any question, Canada and the U.S. definitely have the same phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. The wave of people that graduated, the baby boomers from college and went looking for jobs and couldn't find, you know, jobs because corporate America wasn't ready for them, that facilitated this huge boom of entrepreneurs and business owners that we're now seeing come to their end of their, well, maybe not the end, but certainly the wind down. Does Venuscelle tend to focus on hands-on business owners, and what sizes and types of industries or numbers of employees tend to be in the sweet spot of who uses your services?
With regard to our transition services, we've got some business development, and we call it business acceleration services, that start, you know, down when you're truly very, very small, like $100,000, $200,000 in annual revenue, and go up from there. Our sweet spot in our consulting practice would be businesses that are around 3 million to probably about 60 or 70 million in annual revenue. Uh-huh. And typically what the people that we work with are in their 50s and 60s as owners.
Yes.
And they're active in the company typically. And what they're thinking about doing is slowing down a little bit. So not working as much in the business, with the ultimate transition maybe, you know, 3 to 7, 8 years out. And what they're looking for is to start their next adventure, because they're trying to wind down this adventure. They're not usually ready to retire.
Right.
But they are ready to move on to something that is maybe a little bit different than they've done in the past.
Yeah, that sounds like everybody I meet in my practice and the people that's perfect for our audience. It's people that are saying, I just want to go from overtime to part-time, get some of my life back. And like you said, not retire, but I want to rewire my life. I want to start my next adventure because these are adventurous people. These aren't people that sat back and watched the world go by. They took it by the bull by the horn. And so you're right at home here and talking to our audience. So what are the top three challenges that a private business owner faces as they think about the transition out of business?
Typically, the top three things that they face, truly, the first one is trying to figure out what to do with the business. They've usually invested many years in the business, and they're very engaged with the people. So the first one is what to do with the business so it'll thrive into the future and make sure that all the employees and the customers and the vendors and everybody, all those people are going to be taken care of, because the business actually usually is a part of the community, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's one of them. The next one would be how to figure out the right person or people to successfully run it, because only about 5% of our population is considered entrepreneurial. And usually a business, if it's not growing and expanding, it's usually considered to be declining. So the right people or the right person, typically those people need to be somewhat entrepreneurial that can understand the business and drive it forward. And finding those people usually is not as easy as people believe it to be.
So minding the direction of the company, and I heard I had some audio problems there. I apologize for that. Minding the direction of the company and figuring out who's going to be future leadership and developing those people. And then it's really a role change for that individual who was leading the company as well, right? I mean, it's a huge role change for them.
It's a huge role change. Yeah, I think of it kind of like a dance, and the owner, you know, if you can think of two people dancing, the owner's been leading the dance for years and years and years, 20 years, 15 years. And one of their concerns is to be able to have that business thrive into the future, and they need to be able to get the value out of the business as well. So they're trying to get this person to come in and actually lead, but unless that person comes in and leads and actually takes over for them, it's hard for the business owner to let go. So the new skills and behaviors that they need is an ability to clearly transfer the knowledge of how they do what they do and what they do. And many times the owners have done it for so long, they don't even know how they do some of those things. So they need to be able to clearly transfer that knowledge, and then they need to help that person who's going to be leading the company to become confident enough that they can trust them in order to let go and have the dance continue on into the future.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, often I hear that the business owner says, well, so-and-so is great at the technical side of the job, but they're not so good with people, or vice versa. They're great at sales and marketing, but they're not so good on the accounting or the technical side. And is it important to try to train that next line person to be well-rounded, or is it important just to identify their strengths and hire, you know, to their weaknesses?
Yeah, I would say the latter. And in our experiences, we've had many, many, many transitions that we've worked through. And when you get another person, a younger person coming in, one, you can expect that they have, you know, especially with the millennials, some different values and different approaches. But if you look at the person, we all have natural wiring of things that we love to do and that we're very good at. And so when you bring in a new CEO or a new leader owner, it's really important to value what they're naturally wired to do, and then mm-hmm. Put a team around them, a support team that's going to help them to move forward. And we like keeping the teams in place that are already there, those support teams, but many times they need to be just adjusted. If you're not working in your natural area of focus and your natural wiring, usually it's not that you cannot do it. It's more along the lines that it's exhausting to you. So we really want to keep that next generational owner in their area of natural wiring, in their area of motivation, because then they have a much higher likelihood that they're going to be successful.
I love the way you put that. That's very, very perfect for, I think, for our listeners. The key there is that the next person that's coming up, whether it could be your son or daughter, it could be a key employee, they are not you. And you may have a well-rounded understanding of the total business, but you probably got that over 25 years. That person has strengths and they have weaknesses, and you can't expect them to take on, you know, to take on those weaknesses. That'll drive them away a lot of times, right? So you don't want that.
It'll for sure do that. Yeah, and it for sure does that. So the expectation, let's say it's a son or daughter, expectation of the parent, the owner, son or daughter has to come in and do it like me. Usually what that does is drive the son or daughter away because, you know, it's an expectation that's unrealistic for them. So, yeah, building the company so that you can keep people in their area of motivation is crucial and give them the greatest opportunity for success and also the success of the business because the owner who's been there for 10 or 20 years actually just naturally has hired the things that they normally don't like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if they like accounting, they'll do the accounting side and they'll be really good at it. If they don't like accounting, one of the first things they do is hire a bookkeeper or hire somebody to help them in that area. Right.
Great point.
So they've done that naturally. And so we need to let the next generation of owners that are coming in, you know, structure a business that's going to be a team that's going to be successful for them.
Great point. So let's talk about this. So you all have developed something called a transition roadmap. Tell our listeners, what is a transition roadmap? How does it create success for an owner as they move towards a transition?
Our transition roadmap, we've had that for years. What we usually do is we start with owners about 3 to 8 years before they're ready to transition. And the transition roadmap really focuses on dealing with some of the dilemmas on the people side that owners work with. So the dilemmas are, how do I get my value out? Could I really get it into the hands of the people that I want? What's my roadmap? When am I going to be ready? How is it going to work? How's the tax side going to work? How does the legal side work? What's my spouse going to think? What am I going to do in my next adventure? Because we want an owner moving towards something they want to do instead of leaving the business behind. It's much easier to move towards something that's exciting and leave the business in the hands of somebody who really will run it into the future versus leaving something behind and feeling bad about it. So the transition roadmap really creates alignment between the owner or owners, spouses and key people involved, the next generation of people who are coming in. There are a lot of moving parts there. And so it reduces the stress and the anxiety of how and when and where and to whom, and gives you the path so that you can communicate that with others and set expectations and timelines and stay on the path and know when you're off the path as a aligning team and shift. So you're smart in harvesting that value and smart in putting it in the hands of the right people and have time to make sure that those transitions go well.
Excellent. Excellent. So you asked a lot of questions back there that I'm sure people were saying, yeah, that's me, that's me, that's me. And then after you're like at the seventh or eighth question, they're like, this is why I don't start. It's exhausting to think about all of these different issues. It's so much easier to just go back and run the business. But then what happens is years go by, nothing's been done, and something happens, a health issue, somebody else has a health issue, you just get burned out, and you haven't done the readiness. So you mentioned 3 to 8 years before the actual transition. Is that a natural timeline to start working on this?
Yeah, that's a really natural timeline to start working on. because it gives you, usually the sooner you start, the more options you have. And those events that are life events, typically that's not the time to build your plan because there is stress and, you know, things like that around that. So the transition roadmap gives you, again, that path. It helps you to help you and your family harvest the value from the business. Because if you have an event where something does not go well in your world or in your life, then, you know, that's usually not, again, the time to harvest the greatest value. So the roadmap really works well. And I have to say it's a great statistic for us. 100% of the businesses that have done this roadmap process with us are still in business, some of them up to 10 or 12 years later, some of them transitioning again into the next generation's hands. And the statistics for transition are not great. So we're proud that we have that 100% still in business with our transition roadmap process.
Now, I've gone to your website, and I've seen that you have several tools available, including some self-serve, self-help tools, as well as assessments people can take. And for our listeners, the website is mybva, I'll say that again, mybva.com. And you can take a free assessment to find out where you are in the entrepreneurial flight, which I love that terminology. Could mean several things. And you have two books available on Amazon, Accelerate Your Entrepreneurial Flight by Melvin Wernemont and you, Elizabeth, and also Understanding the Growth of the Entrepreneur, again, by Melvin and you. Now, tell us a little, when our listeners go to your website, there's a lot of different moving parts on there. What's the first thing they should look at when they go to mybva.com to get familiar with how you guys can help them?
The first thing that I would do is take that entrepreneurial flight survey. What it is it's an integrated model that's been developed over the last 15 years, and it integrates the development of the entrepreneur with the development of the company. So when you take that entrepreneurial flight survey, you'll find out where you are as an entrepreneur on that flight, and there's seven different stages, seven different levels, and also where the business is. And theoretically, what you want to do is move the business more towards the upper levels, because the business then will have more stability, more value, and have a better chance of going on into the future. So the first thing I would do is go take that entrepreneurial flight survey and get your results, and then get in touch with us. And if you would like, we would be happy to go over the results with you.
And I love that idea. So first go get your bearings, figure out where you are on the entrepreneurial flight. And then it looks like they can decide at some point if they're, like you said, they're smaller businesses that have, they have substantial issues and problems. They also need to transition in one way or another, but they not, may not be in your sweet spot for your planning. And they may not, they may just be self-serve people. They don't have the time or the inclination. So there's an area they can go to, or else they can engage you and get moving on it, or maybe they start with one and go to the other. I love what you've put together. I really do. And I would love for you to come back another time, Elizabeth, and tell us more about this. I mean, we can get so much deeper into this topic than we could today, just getting to know you and learning about what you're doing at VinaCell. So I want to encourage our listeners, again, go to mybva.com and take the free assessment there for the to learn about your entrepreneurial flight and where you are. And Elizabeth, it's been a real pleasure to have you on. I love the way you explain things, and I think it's very valuable for our listeners. So I hope you'll come back again soon.
Great. I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back after this, though, so please stay with us.